The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers, guests, and contributors. They do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of this radio station, its parent company, or its advertisers.
This is the Red State Report from Paris, Texas, bringing you breaking news and stories from across the Lone Star State. Here's your host, Scott Hommel.
Hello, Texans and Texans at heart and in spirit. This is the Red State Report, and I'm your humble host, Scott Hommel. We are getting ready to dive into today's show, and I could not be more excited to be hosting the Red State Report on this and other great radio stations. I hope you will join often at this time to find out what is important today in the state of Texas in politics. But, dear listener, our program does not stop there. We will look at politics that affect our region, our country, and our homes right here in Lamar County. Yes, the Red State Report originates from the northeast corner of the great state of Texas, from Paris, Texas, here in Lamar County, and we would not have it any other way. We are Texans. We're proud, and that makes us Texas loud. On today's show, we're going to have an update on the 88th legislature that's been going on. Dade Phelan versus Ken Paxton, some very interesting news. It's been 1 year since Uvalde, and we're going to touch into that a little bit. Statewide alert training, I'll explain a little bit what that is. It's something that has come out since the Uvalde incident. And where is your ISD in regards to the Texas Association of School Boards, TASB, and their transgender guidelines that they want your schools to adhere to? That and much more right here on the Red State Report. Stay in the saddle. We'll be right back.
This is the Red State Report on News Radio 1250 KZHN with Scott Hommel. And now, back to the Red State Report with Scott Hommel on News Radio 1250 KZHN.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Red State Report. I'm your humble host, Scott Hommel. And like I said, we're going to do some updates on the 88th legislation process that's been happening here in the great state of Texas. Just a couple of notes. We're going to do some of the good, the bad, and the ugly. Here's the good. House Bill number 900 passed through the House, went to the Senate. The Senate put on a bunch of amendments. The Democrats wanted to add a bunch of amendments to HB 900, which would basically make the bill null and void. Okay, so picture putting amendments on a bill that makes it circle back to where the bill is nothing. Well, it went back to the House. They said, no, we want it without amendments. It went back to the Senate. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not just good, but it's great. It came through the Senate with no amendments. So what is HB 900? Remember all the controversy at school board meetings? You're seeing parents talk about all these sexually explicit pornographic books on the school's libraries? Well, HB 900 basically says that the folks who are sending these books, okay, the manufacturers and the people we're buying our books from, they will be held liable if they send these books to schools. The schools now will have to remove their existing sexually explicit, pornographic, age-inappropriate books in our public schools. It's a big, big win. This is a really good win because if you think about it on a national basis now, Garland can't declare Texas folks as being terrorists because we're not going to be at the school boards barking at them to remove the books. The state of Texas just basically said it'll be put in the law in September because it's going to go to the governor's desk. He's going to sign it. Hey, you have to do it now. You have to remove these books. You have to provide the lists of these books that have been removed and books that are trying to come back into your system through the suppliers of these books as we move forward. So that's a huge win here in the great state of Texas. HB 900, what a great, great piece of work. As a member of the Legislative Priorities Committee at the 2022 convention, that's one of the bills that I was really strong about and wanted to make sure it got passed as part of our legislative priorities. It made it through that, and it's made it all the way through. And here's a bill that, hey, I had a little part in. That's actually going to be on the governor's desk for signing, and we will be able to hold our public schools accountable for removing the books that just don't belong in public schools where children, minors, have access to these things, and that's a good thing. Now the bad. There's a lot of bad going on in our House right now. We have this, as you've seen in the news, our Attorney General, Ken Paxton, has decided to release a letter demanding the resignation of Speaker of the House Dade Phelan based on the fact he was potentially intoxicated while addressing the House. And let me read you the letter, if you haven't heard or seen this, from Attorney General Ken Paxton. After much consideration, it is with profound disappointment that I call on Speaker Dade Phelan to resign at the end of this legislative session. Texans were dismayed to witness his performance proceeding over the House in a state of apparent debilitating intoxication. His conduct has negatively impacted the legislative process and constitutes a failure to live up to his duty to the public. Texans were relying on the House to pass critical conservative priorities, including protecting the integrity of our elections and preventing Chinese spies from controlling Texas land. His failure as Speaker has created a credibility crisis for all Republican candidates and for our entire party. While I hope Speaker Phelan will get the help he needs, he has proven himself unworthy of Texans' trust and incapable of leading the Texas House. Now, if you know me, I'm not a big fan of Dade Phelan either, and here's why. He does not stand behind the platform of the Republican Party of Texas, and he certainly does not stand behind and support the legislative priorities of the Republican Party of Texas. That alone is enough for me to say, Dade, you should resign. It's just amazing what's going on with Mr. Phelan in terms of how he's held things up and everything. And now we're going to go to the other side of the story, where there is a move by some Republicans who are investigating Ken Paxton versus supposed wrongdoing, which we will address in future shows as more information comes out. We're not going to put anything out there right now because it's pure speculation. Until the facts are seen and heard, we will then move forward on that. But again, Dade Phelan should resign regardless if he was intoxicated that day while presenting in front of the House. But if you look at how he has handled his position as Speaker of the House in regards to our party platform and our party's legislative priorities, he doesn't seem to think that they're important. And that's not right for us, the people here in the state of Texas. When we have an elected official at his position, that he just doesn't care about Republicans. So I ask myself, is he really, truly a Republican, or does he get the information maybe from both sides? And I say both sides, Democrats and rhinos. Okay, and that's the way I look at it. When we get back from the break here in just a few minutes, we'll go into it a little bit more, and I'm going to update some more things that has happened on the legislative session here. Some great bills that are, well, I'm going to call it part of our ugly segment when we come back. They're dead. They're dead on the floor. And when I tell you some of these bills that are dead on the floor, man, if it doesn't shake you to the core as a Texan, as an American, and as a God-fearing human being, then, you know, go look in the mirror and say, what am I doing? This is Scott Hummel on the Red State Report, and we'll be right back.
This is the Red State Report on News Radio 1250 KZHN with Scott Hummel. And now, back to the Red State Report with Scott Hummel on News Radio 1250 KZHN.
Hey, welcome back to the Red State Report with Scott Hummel, your humble host. Okay, the ugly. There are some bills that we're trying to get pushed through the House and the Senate floor here in the state of Texas. And unfortunately, they come up right now as considered to be dead. Dead on the floor, okay? And here's one of them. We want to conduct and change the... let me put this in layman's terms. If you're caught violating election laws and voting laws in the state of Texas, it used to be a felony, and then they dropped it to a misdemeanor. That's a slap on the wrist if you're caught cheating in the voting system here in Texas. Well, we tried to put it back on the board. You know, Senator Hughes, Senate District Number 1, Senator Hughes, tried to put it back to make it a felony. Crushed. It's dead. So let just let you know that where some of our politicians stand on election integrity. I guess they really don't care. I'd care about it. If you're caught cheating in an election in the state of Texas and you're just going to get a misdemeanor, what's going to prevent you from cheating? Nothing. It's a slap on the wrist. But if you're convicted of a felony, you might think twice about cheating the voting system here in the state of Texas. That's just horrible. Here's another one that's dead on the floor. Prohibiting institutions of higher education or entities receiving public funds, let's transfer that, taxpayer dollars, for conducting gain-of-function research on potentially pandemic pathogens in the state of Texas, creating a civil penalty. So in other words, Senator Bob Hall put this legislation up for vote and consideration to say, hey, we will not allow any of our higher education places that receive taxpayer money, public funding, to do any type of gain of function research here in the state of Texas. And that bill got stopped. So I ask yourself, you know, why is that not important that we here in the state of Texas don't want our taxpayer money funding gain of research function? And we know what can happen. It was called, COVID-19, released from a lab in Wuhan, China, that was doing gain-of-function research. And Senator Bob Hughes wanted to make sure we stopped that type of research here in the state of Texas, at least by starting with those colleges and higher places of education that receive public funding. That's ugly, ladies and gentlemen, that we can't stand up and say, no, not here in Texas. Again, I go back to Texas needs to lead. We shouldn't be following. This was an area where Texas could have led the United States and said, not here, not going to happen. That's just scary in all kinds of different directions for me as far as the dead bill that it's become. So I don't want to get you all down and everything like that. So fast forward to some good stuff again. Let's go back. As I mentioned last show, we have protected women's sports here in the state of Texas. If you're a biological male, you will not be allowed to participate in collegiate sports here in the state of Texas, adding that to already the fact that we did that for high school sports. But we've definitely done that here and solidified that for college sports and women athletes. And it's just a shame at the end of the day that we have to write a law about this. It's common sense. If you're born a guy, you compete with the guys. I don't care if Joe is now Josephine. A million years from now, his DNA will still be Joe. And physically, he'll always be Joe. Even if we remove certain digits, he'll always be Joe and have a physical advantage over the other Josephines. It's just sad that we have to have legislation to do this, and it's terrible. So with that being said, let's go right back to where does your ISD stand with the TASB's guidelines for transgender rules in your schools, elementary, middle school, and high schools, where the TASB most definitely has told the school boards in your area, okay? Again, I'm going to refresh your memory because until this is stopped and you get it in writing from your school boards, pay attention. Remember, the TASB wants your school boards to tell the schools that they run and operate that they should allow biological boys to use the girls' locker rooms, restrooms, and showers. Okay, here in Lamar County, I've heard from our local ISDs, I haven't seen it in writing, that any boy that is into the transgender movement or thinks he's Joe to Josephine, he's allowed to use the nurse's bathroom facilities. That's what they've said. But until it's in writing, I don't believe a word out of any of these ISDs. As long as they can say one thing, and we all know what they do a completely different thing for the most part, because we have not seen that here in writing, and I will be reaching out to them again, as I wish that all of you in the great state of Texas reach out to your local ISDs and find out where they stand in regards to the TASB. We've asked them to leave the TASB. They haven't given us answers if they're going to or not. We think that's wrong. Remember, the TASB is paid for by tax taxpayer dollars. In other words, your taxpayer money, the money you earned, goes to an organization that tells your ISD school boards to let boys use girls' bathrooms. Okay? They also want to let the schools and make sure the schools are teaching critical race theory. Okay? That's one of the biggest things that they also push. And they want transparency. If a child is kind of questioning himself, they're trying to train these school boards, to train the schools, to tell the teachers and the administrators, do not tell the students' parents. Okay? They think that when a kid goes into a school, that kid belongs to them. Try that. Try telling that to the mother who gave birth to that child after 9 months. That child is no longer hers, even if it's for 5 or 6 hours, 7 hours in a day. The school does not own your child. Parents have rights. And for schools out there that are holding back information and not giving the parents the ultimate decision for their child, it's hypocrisy at the highest level. And for those of you, you know, continue on through this, and it's kind of a circle of information. It's also about the school vouchers. The money should follow the student. And we'll get into that a little bit more in depth next week, because I've got some information coming on that we'll delve into on that. But we have to remember, all over this great state of Texas, get involved. Find out what your ISDs are all about. See if they're part of TASB. And when you find out that they are, you'll be shocked at what the TASB wants to do with your students, your child. Okay, it's not just here in Lamar County. It's in every county in the state of Texas. Taxpayer money pays for your school, your school boards, to tell your schools to let boys use girls' bathrooms. That's wrong in so many different ways. But hey, when we get back from the break to pay the bills and everything here at the Red State Report with Scott Hummel, we're going to get into some other very interesting topics and reminders as to what's really going to happen this coming week and as we move forward at the end of the legislation. What's going to happen? Okay, what do we do as voters, as conservatives, as Republicans in the state of Texas? Do we just spark up the barbecue and forget about it until next session? I don't think so. Scott Hummel, Red State Report. We'll be right back.
This is the Red State Report with Scott Hummel on News Radio 1250 KZHN. And now, back to the Red State Report with Scott Hummel on News Radio 1250 KZHN.
Welcome back to the Red State Report. I'm Scott Hummel, your humble host. As I said in the preamble, I wanted to discuss, it was a year ago this past week, we had an incident here in Texas, in Uvalde. We all know it, that many students and two teachers lost their lives. We've heard, and you've probably seen in the mainstream media all over the state of Texas, and I don't care where you're from in Texas, you should all be aware of some of the other truths and what's happening and what's coming out of this Uvalde event. Now, don't get me wrong. It was tragic. The fact that students and teachers lost their lives, and there's students that have been that were actually shot and survived, and other students in the school, mentally, it's going to be difficult for them moving forward as we go through this. So don't think that I'm not cognizant of that and with what I'm about to say as we move forward here in regards to Uvalde. One of the good things that's come out of it, okay, is the state has recognized that we need to have what's called alert training, okay? The governor's office has put it forward that not just school police officers need to be updated and trained yearly on what's called alert training, but also your local police officers. Now, let's go back to Uvalde. For whatever reason, obviously it seems apparent that the police officers who were involved there that day didn't have proper alert training. And I say that based on the fact, and it's on video, that they waited for over an hour to go into the room where the shooting was happening. Over an hour to wait where the shooting was happening. So let's put that as part one. Part two, of course, the Democrats and the leftists and the liberals, as soon as something like this happens, they go after the guns. The gun was bad. Bad gun. Okay? It might have been the person behind the gun. Maybe that was the bad person, not the gun itself. There's an attorney for one of the families of a victim of Uvalde who's literally suing the gun manufacturer. His statement is this particular gun manufacturer is also a featured gun on a couple of video games. And so they're promoting it to children. Hey, go use this gun. Go use this gun. That's his MO. It's sad that this particular attorney, he's just going after the gun manufacturers, because I know what it is at the end of the day. It's a paycheck. Okay? That's what he's looking for. At the end of the day, he's looking at a paycheck. It's not going to bring their child back. The family is all in cooperation with this. But, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have a gun problem. Okay? When that person buys the gun, it doesn't come with instructions to go shoot at schools. Never happens. The guns I own at my home do not get up, go up, and have a cup of coffee, and go out and shoot people and come home and say, hey, how was your day? I took down a school. No. We have a mental health issue. And then, on top of that, we have a school security issue. Remember, at Uvalde, the back door was left open. He was able to come in, the shooter was able to come in through the back door. That should be the most alarming part of all of this. The school wasn't trained or didn't properly keep themselves shut down to where they limit who can come and go out of that school once the school children are in the school. This gentleman was allowed to come through the back door. We should be addressing school security as much as we are about gun issues. Remember, it's not the gun that did all the work. There was a shooter involved. The shooter has to hold the gun. So if we're going to start holding gun manufacturers responsible for this, okay, then why don't I need a license to go buy a Stanley hammer? Okay, look it up in facts here. Over this great nation of ours, over 10,000 people a year are killed with a hammer. Thousands of people in this country are killed with kitchen knives. Thousands of people in this country are killed with yard tools. But I don't need a license to go buy a shovel. I don't need a license to buy a hammer. I don't need a license to buy a steak knife. But I'm regulated as to what I can do for weapons to protect my family. Okay? They're all about this assault rifles. They're not assault rifles. They're air light rifles. A weapon used to harm somebody, all the way up to murdering or killing somebody, that is an assault weapon used as the assault was happening. So technically speaking, if you want to go by the leftist ways of life, where they keep calling every gun out there an assault weapon, then every hammer that's killed a human being in the United States is an assault hammer. Like the one used to supposedly brutally attack Speaker, then Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi's husband. But boy, you notice how the left didn't say anything about hammers? They didn't say one word. And there's pictures of a guy with a hammer in his hand. But that hammer was not considered an assault weapon because it doesn't fit their narrative. So the tens of thousands of people year after year after year that are killed by hammers and other devices outside of guns, they don't count. They literally don't count. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, if they're going to come for our guns, they're only doing it so they can control us even more. That's why they don't have the full control that we have. And I pray for those people at Uvalde and that we don't have these shootings, but we have to deal with it from a mental standpoint. We have to deal with it from a school security standpoint. Kudos to the state for getting involved and making sure now that we have our police officers and school officers trained in this alert training process. It's really, really good. I've heard that they're a little far behind. They're going to keep working on it constantly. But look into your local ISDs and see if your ISD police officers have attended alert training through the state of Texas. That's kind of important to know as we move forward. And ask your ISDs how they lock down their schools once the students are in. How do people get in and out of the schools once your students are in? That's super, super important. Now, let's go back real quick. I'm going to read a couple of quotes here before we wrap this up. This is from Abraham Lincoln. Okay? Abraham Lincoln had no idea about the transgender community. Okay? Nothing. And that wasn't even a thought process back then. But listen to this quote. How many legs does a dog have if you call his tail a leg? 4. Saying that a tail is a leg doesn't make it a leg. Saying that a man is a woman doesn't make him a woman. Think about that. Abraham Lincoln, in a roundabout weird way, he was in on it back then. Another great quote here by Abraham Lincoln. Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side. For God is always right. And with that, before I close, one of the bills that was shut down in our state, it was trying to be put out there that the Ten Commandments were to be placed in school classrooms. And that got shot down. Ladies and gentlemen, they're always trying to take God out of our schools and taking God out of your child's heart and trying to take God out of your heart. The more they do that, the more they succeed. Remember, let's look at it this way as we think about the Texas border, but let's think of another couple of borders out there. In order for you to get in heaven, there's a gate, and that gate is surrounded by a very large fence, and there's a gatekeeper at that gate. He's going to let you in, or he's not going to let you in. Hell has no borders. Hell has no gate. Let that sink in for a moment. Scott Hummel on the Red State Report. Ladies and gentlemen, stay in your saddle.
This is the Red State Report with Scott Hummel on News Radio 1250 KZHN. And now, back to the Red State Report with Scott Hummel on News Radio 1250 KZHN.
We have come to the end of today's show, the Red State Report, with me, Scott Hummel. I cannot thank you enough for joining us today. I want to thank our producing staff for all the technical help, and I hope you will join us next week at this time on this radio station on the Red State Report. Remember to tune in every week as we dive into all things Texas and all things politics on the state, national, and local level. If it affects this great red state of Texas, you will hear about it on the Red State Report. That is our promise. Remember, stay Texas proud and always be Texas loud. God bless Texas. I'm Scott Hummel for the Red State Report. See you next time.